is no black and white answer to your question. But the generally accepted better practice is to release them as soon as possible. Well, get them printed up and voted on as soon as possible.
No, I brought that up because at the last Housing Board of Commissioners meeting, a resident got up and requested minutes that weren't approved yet. And the attorney and everybody tried to explain to her that you can't have them until the board approves it. And I got up and I said to the woman, I know she was on the school board and so was I, that you know you can't get them out until they're approved. And I was accused in public at the meeting of drinking Jill's Kool-Aid.
You will find there is case law out there that says they can be released in draft form.
Well, I just want to, you know, I'm not here to bash the governor.
Joe, you have to stay on topic. You're talking about the petition.
No, please.
Yeah,
I'll stay on topic, but
please.
I just want to say
that was not on topic. Stay to the petition.
Well,
please.
The petition was drafted by Mrs. Wecker and Mrs. Walsh. The problem is, it's not to ask that the commissioners be removed that are there now. It's to have careful consideration of commissioners that are appointed. The majority of the residents feel that the last two appointments were good appointments made to the Housing Authority. And the problem is, take for example Mrs. Walsh. She lives next to a person that hoards. Her apartment's clean. Every time the exterminator comes to exterminate him, they have to exterminate her, the people across the hall, the people downstairs, the people upstairs, and some of them are on walkers, wheelchairs, and they have to pack everything up. A lot of people just keep it all packed, and that's no way to live. And they want something done. I know the board said that they have to take the lowest bid with the bed bug problem. And but there's got to be a way where a company can be brought in to eliminate the once and for all. But there is a problem with hoarding. There's a problem with people in that building. For example, one individual put a pot in the stove and left, and smoke went all out throughout the building. Yesterday, that same individual threw alcohol and fabric softener in a dryer and shorted out the motor. And when the administration tries to do something about it, they always seem to be thwarted by people in the community. I will tell you that Jill Holmfield had nothing to do with this petition. It was done by a group of residents who were just fed up with the hoarding and the messes in people's apartment, the people who shouldn't be there. And they wanted the governing body to take more of an active role in coming in. They don't want to replace commissioners. They want people who are going to try to address the problem because it is a problem down there. We have an older woman who's scared to stay in her apartment because she's afraid the man next door is going to put a pot on the stove. She can't sleep at night. She's afraid. And after the last Board of Commissioners meeting, I think it was the consensus of the residents who were at the meeting. A lot of them are intimidated when these people get up to talk. They don't want to get up and talk after these people. Like, well, the reason why I put in that, Mr. Francis, I was told I drank Jill's Kool-Aid. And that's why a lot of people don't want to get up and talk at the meeting, because they're afraid they're going to be badgered or insulted or God knows what. And that's the reason for the petition. I know Mr. Hill said it was kind of vague. It may be a little bit vague, but they were trying to be nice about it. But most of the people in that building comply with everything. There's five or six people that do not comply. And out of those five or six people, when the extermination comes, it affects maybe 40 other people in the area. Because they got to pack everything up. And like one lady said, an older woman, she says, I can't take it anymore. She just can't. She can't do it. And these people are in there hoarding. The administration tries to do something, and these citizens come in and start trashing her on the board.
But how is that stopping the on-site management from fixing the problem?
Because every time one of the administration goes to investigate a situation, they call somebody and somebody comes in and the whole thing is stopped.
I don't want to name names.
I think you can talk to Jill. She wants to see you and talk to you. And I know Ms. Thornhill came to talk to her. She's just happy, she's had it with what's going on. And it's
this one particular man that started the stove fire, he has a champion who comes in and raves about him, how wonderful he is and everything, but it's not true.
Okay.
It's not true.
And is the champion in a position to impact the management's
role? I don't know. Jill told a lot of the residents that she had him set up to go to a VA home in upstate New York, and the advocate came and stopped it and then filed a civil suit against the authority.
Well, see, the problem is, if I can interject,
please.
Unfortunately, the housing authority is the housing of last resort. We do work hard to evict those that are not compliant. But it's very difficult.
Very, very, very
difficult. It's not an easy situation. I think you have good board members. They're trying to work in the best interest. We're working on drafting a new RFP for exterminator now, because we're well aware that this contractor's not cutting the mustard. We were down to almost nothing, and now we're back up to being pretty well infested again. And it's not fair to the residents. You know, yes, we did take a little bit, and you think you're doing the right decision, but maybe that's not always the best way. So I think things are trying to move in a positive way, but we spend a ton of money on litigation that we then say, they say, well, you have to take that tenant back with these conditions.
The same person that I just mentioned threw that substance in the dryer yesterday and just swept the whole laundry room. A motor burned out on the dryer, and like Jill said, that comes out of all our money that goes into like parties or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said it's ridiculous, but nobody seems to do anything about it. And these advocates come in and try to put a stop to, you know,
because the advocates don't have a place for these people.
Well, that's just it. When they go to court,
I say something.
Name and address, please, ma'am, for the record.
I understand.
Whatever you say, name and address.
Oh,
please, for the record.
Myra Wecker.
Thank you.
The main reason this was done is, more than anything else, the stress that it's put in on everybody. That's why so many people were so happy about maybe something. And what we're really looking for is that the company that we have, and we know that there should be a new company coming in. And it was the extermination. They were no good.
Right.
In plain English. I said they didn't do the job. It was not, because when I first moved, I've been there a little over a year. When I first moved in there, there was only a few units that were affected.
Right.
And little by little by little, it's just got to the point where it's out of sight. And a lot of these problems, with there are quarters, there are people. But a lot of it, it's not the idea. These people need a place to live. That's why we're there.
Sure.
And a majority of them need assisted living. They need help. And it's so hard to get it, and we understand that.
Because
I was reading in here about the idea of possibly assisted living up with it. And I said, that's the thing that we need. We need more help for these people. Right. Because they need a place to live, too. Nobody's trying to put anybody out. We don't want anybody to be. But it's hard on everybody else when there are just a few. And they won't. They don't understand. They can't do it.
And sometimes they have no family.
Right. They have nobody to help.
It's time to go to the next step, and that's not happening.
We can get help for them, because, of course, they don't have the money to pay anybody to help them. And it is a big job, because, I mean, if you're involved in, even if it's not in your apartment, it's other apartments next to you.
You're affected by it, of course.
I said, to me, I explained it, that it feels like you're a homeless person without a shopping cart, because you're living out of plastic or units. You have to get rid of your couches and your chairs and this and that. I mean, you move in and then all of a sudden you have nothing left. And the stress that it's putting on people, it's a terrible way to have to live.
And some of these
I live with a flashlight next to my bed or next to be checking all the time. And I mean,
some of these people refuse to throw away infested chairs and beds and mattresses.
And then they're infested with them and they can't get rid of them because they're special chairs. And I mean, it's the overall picture. It's 6-1.
Why aren't you guys speaking with Jill?
We have been.
We have, but...
And she said she's trying to work, they're trying to get a new, as long as they get a new exterminator, but it's just that it's so hard because that people just can't comply with it. There's certain ones that won't.
Well, it's not that they can't, they won't.
And
yeah,
they won't.
I mean, that can't, we don't care, because right. that's not their fault. That's what right. we're saying.
Can I make a
but
suggestion?
There are people that won't comply.
Are you touched, Commissioner Protector? If when we have our meetings, there are a couple of people from town that come in and kind of interfere and make their own suggestions, and we would like somebody from the council maybe to come in and sit in on one of our meetings and just listen.
That's what I was going to ask. So you have outsiders come in and disrupting
well, yeah.
your meeting.
And then the residents
yes.
get intimidated.
Okay.
They don't want to stand up. I'm
yeah,
not
they don't
either.
Want to. I mean, that's
no.
the
they get afraid yeah. because after what happened to me at the last meeting, they're saying, who does that woman think she is?
That's why everybody, so many of them are afraid to say anything, and that's why we decided, well, we'll just go and want to do something.
And the prevailing attitude is that it seems like around town that people don't like Jill Homefield. When you go around, I know when they went around, they have 76 signatures on here. That doesn't include how many vacancies, or six vacancies?
Eight vacancies,
and there was people in the hospital. Only six or seven people refused to sign. They're the people who are involved in litigation. Everybody in the building loves the woman. You know, she goes out of her way.
But you're ignoring a central fact, Joe. Jill is not getting the job done. If the question is bed bugs, then they're there.
She is getting the job done. She's injured all the time.
I can speak on her behalf because I've dealt with her on several issues, and she does. She's open.
Job.
She you can talk to her. There's no problem with the woman.
There was 7 o'clock.
But you know, if you sat here long enough, you know what she's dealing with there. It's the same thing. The bureaucracy is over. It's just burdensome. It's just burdensome
we take
over there.
Court all the time, and the judge will either say, well, if you can find another place for these people, by all means send them there. If not, they have to come back. And we've had one or two offenders that were so horrible.
He's
so
dealt
terrible.
With problems in public housing, and it's tough to get them out. You know that, Joe.
Well,
it's near impossible, and they're breaking the law, and you can't throw them out.
I'm not suggesting that they get rid of them. I'm suggesting that they fix the problem.
Right.
If the problem is hoarding, get rid of the mess. If the problem is a bad couch, throw the couch out. They don't have a choice.
But part of the problem that Jill Homefield's dealing with right now, by listening to this story, is the law to state you're going to use the lowest bidder. What do you think that guy's the lowest bidder? Because
right.
he does generally the worst job.
Okay, but the bed bugs are one thing. At this point, it's the other issues, the hoarding, which has been an ongoing.
Yeah, but the bed bug issue at Patak Towers, I think, is the over...
That's,
it's the cloud that hangs over everybody.
But for example, Chris, she did go out of her way. She worked to get this man into a VA hospital, one of whom almost set the building on fire, and who threw the substance in the dryer yesterday. And then an advocate comes in, puts a stop to it, and files a civil suit against the authority.
What's an advocate? Is that like a state?
I don't know what it is.
Or is that just somebody to pick up?
She's probably in the room right now, actually.
I don't know who it is or what they do. I know the woman who
And I think the problem is, I think it's just he is somebody that needs assistance. He I think probably what happened, softener. I think he thought it was the washing machine instead of the dryer. And that's what happened. It wasn't a purposeful thing. That's what
right.
I'm saying. These are people that need help.
Right. And he had a whole
but
place in the VA hospital.
It's out of order,
right.
it's probably the motor shot, and now it's there. And that's the kind
right.
of things that want. And you.
Just be perfectly honest with you, I've been approached by the citizenry in my time sitting at this table to help people get into be at Patak Towers or something like that, because their condition is so far gone that the people that they're living with, mostly family, don't want to deal with it no
right.
more.
Yeah.
But that's not a nursing home.
No,
that is a senior citizen building.
See,
and that's
saying.
The problem.
We're not against, we feel bad. We have a lot of sympathy. I mean, look, we're getting, we're all in there.
I'd go around and help the old people pack their stuff up.
Right.
Your brother has them, he was there.
Right.
Help them because they can't do it themselves. They're on walkers. They're crying. They're saying, well,
they're so confused. They don't.
The one who lives next to this particular one won't stay in her apartment. She goes to somebody else because she's crying.
She wants to go to the next meeting.
Yeah. What is it?
When's the next meeting?
The next meeting
next
is the 24th, is it?
What time?
You go to that every time?
I'm on a clock.
So you go there every time?
Just, so I wanted to say something on another topic. I signed up in the paper.
No, let somebody else.
Several months ago, I was asked to put in for the Clam Depuration Commission. I haven't heard a word.
We haven't appointed anyone yet.
I have served 32 years in local government on four boards in the county, four different boards in the state, appointed by three different governors. If you want me to do it, I'm happy to do it. If you don't want it,
Mr. Wall, we did receive your application. Okay. As I explained to you today, the council wasn't taking action on
it. We didn't do that until yet.
We'll be going on at the February meeting.
Mayor, if you can come by, I know Jill would like to speak to you.
What time of the day is the meeting?
7 o'clock at night.
7 p.m.
She's okay. For example, yesterday she was upstairs consoling a woman whose daughter just died. And she had to get called downstairs because the dryer's on fire.
Okay.
Somebody threw something in. And like she's saying, you know, she can't do everything at once. It's like.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that Pat Black's daughter passed away. She lives in our building. She lives in Jenny Park Manor. And by the way, there's also, she's not here tonight. Hamilton, there's also a petition coming to you from Jenny Parker Mann.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Arnie, I know you wanted to say something. Please name an address.
Arnie Pugh, 50 Valley Street, Highlands. I was a housing commissioner for 5 years, and one of the things that could happen to make it better is, and to remember, one of the big problems is people there are nervous. And if you were there in that situation, you wouldn't want to be, and you want to eliminate that. So maybe if somebody from the council, I know the town and the HUD are separate entities, but the town, the people there know the people on the council, and if somebody from the council could go to the meetings besides Becky to try and have some kind of rapport with the people there, it might, and to listen and maybe make suggestions to Becky outside of the meeting that she can take back to the board meetings, it might help. The other thing too would be maybe possibly put a suggestion box in the public meeting room that's open not by the office but by somebody else.
Someone outside.
So that people that live there feel like that they have can make a suggestion without having to go to the office.
Thing. They're afraid.
And which is a problem because it goes to this nervousness thing. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And that's what I try to do.
It's actually a good idea, Arnie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nance, you want to weigh in on
it? 22 Atlantic Street.
Did you forget where you live for a minute?
I just wanted to mention they're talking about people who could be nervous to leave a comment or voice their opinion about the comment or talk up. They also may have felt obligated to sign a petition, you know, the 76 sign, because they don't want to not sign to find, to then people realize that they work for Oregon.
They wanted
also
to.
Also, the residents of Patak that mentioned that they didn't have the bed bugs and they're so, you know, everybody's so stressed out who doesn't have them. Just take into consideration the people that do have them and how distraught they are. They didn't ask to have bed bugs. No one does. No one would, you know. And it does go back to when there was a contractor and there was painting, you know, no one knows where they could have come from or where they do come from, but tarps that go in and out of each apartment, you know, that could have spread the problem. And I do know there was a property in Jersey City that was infested with bed bugs, and it was a housing authority, and everyone, the only way they were able to rectify the problem was to empty the building.
Exactly.
Everyone had to be relocated for months, and that was the only way that area was able to finally get rid of the problem.
I think it was 6 weeks, too.
Yeah, and I don't know who puts the bill, but it's a long, drawn-out process, you know, so maybe it's time that we do that so people can start living again, because I'm sure it's really, really stressful.
And it's maybe the only way it ends.
Mayor, there's one other thing about the petition. Mrs. Walsh sent with the congressman along with a letter. And they called today in his office instead of send a monitor to come to the meetings.
Okay.
To see what's going on.
Good. Thank you. Next up, Paradise Park Homeowners Association request for waiver of fee for zone change application.
Correct. And our ordinance is a fee schedule. I believe there's a $2,000 escrow deposit required and a $200 application fee, I believe.
Have we ever waived it for anyone else?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. So
I don't believe we should do that now.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Ms. Bibbles, you want to weigh in on it? I know.
That's not what we're asking right now. We're asking about the escrow fees. Does anybody here want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I have a
question. Are we doing the fee first or the request for zoning change?
I think we really only talk about the fee right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolyn, do you remember the park? The park was zoned to MXD. Was there a fee collected in that when that happened? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I do not know. I don't know how it was initiated.
It just
you mean
came
when the guy, the purchaser, came before board
when Bolleman,
to have it changed?
When Bolleman had
sure
the...
Sure, he had to pay a fee.
I don't know. There was no application. You know, it was a zoning change, just as this is not a...
I think that's what Fort Minton. I don't remember. It's been like 7 years, 8 years.
The 2000 escrow deposit is for engineers and lawyers' fees and all
right,
that.
Right, there's a notification. I believe if it's not part of a master plan, I would be required to notify, so I certify now everyone within 200 feet of the entire zone boundary, not a property, a zone boundary.
Right.
So that's expenses that the borough wouldn't cover.
Right.
Right.
You have the attorney fees.
So those fees we can't.
No.
We can't.
You're stepping into the big league.
Well,
you're looking to make a multi-million dollar purchase.
The reason I would vote no on it, and I'll tell you, Ms. Dibble, I don't even know if we're going to have a vote. The reason I would vote no is one reason. We made people pay for sewer and stuff when they're not even living in the house because
right.
of a natural exactly. disaster. So I can't waive a fee for something that is not people out of their homes currently right now. That's just my opinion. It could be right or wrong.
What
it's just. I don't know that any of that happened, what you're referring to, ma'am. What are you talking about when this happened in your property?
I'm talking about Shadow Lawn. I'm talking about Paradise Park. I'm talking about Highlands Business Partnership is bringing a zoning request to the board. They're not paying these fees.
Okay.
Well, they should be. I don't know, Mr. Mayor.
No.
But the ordinance requires, I mean, any time...
We didn't really even settle on if we're going to do anything with that yet, though, Mr. Dibble, to be honest with you. There hasn't even been a vote on that. We're sorting that out at the next meeting. Okay.
I mean, if we have to pay, if apparently we have to pay for, what is the $2,000 escrow for?
Karen.
It could be for certified mailing for notices within 200 feet of the zone boundary, for legal expenses for the attorney to prepare an ordinance, publications,
engineering
if that is required.
I think what Frank is saying is that this ordinance is going to be reviewed and that change might be made before you could even apply for it. So that being the case, if that's taken care of, you don't have to apply. Correct?
Well, what we're talking about, no, what I'm saying is the HPP gave a recommendation. They had a subcommittee, which Becky and I both attended, and there was recommendations for things really all across town. I don't remember the beginning of Paradise Park. I don't even know if I was sitting up here then when that happened, how that went through and, you know, who voted on what. But I will say this. If there is going to be some changes on Bay Avenue from the HPP recommendation and they're required to pay fees, then they're going to pay them. All I was saying is that we had people here from the condos who are out of their houses, and we had voted one time to, I think, one month to waive the sewer fees, and then a month later we made them pay again because we didn't want everybody who, you know, was displaced to not pay a fee. I still would vote to not, you know, if we're not going to have people who are not living there, they have to pay. I don't know how you can waive a fee for...
Okay, but when 0707 was the one that was shot down, overturned in court, correct? Mm-hmm. I thought when that was overturned in court, we were going to look to make adjustments to that.
Correct.
Yeah, but that's on the Hill.
That's on the Hill. That has nothing to do with Paradise Park.
Paradise Park, that shot
I thought one. They were both tied together.
No.
And the HPP recommendation, I believe... Yeah, but we didn't know if we're doing anything.
Yeah,
be quite honest, I'm not sure of that. They're making some recommendations. I don't think they are.
That might stimulate business or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think.
Aesthetics. If it's a change that is designed to benefit a specific property owner, the property owner is. Correct. The ordinance is designed for that property owner to absorb the costs of the change.
Right.
If it's an ordinance, if it's more of
like a sweeping,
for lack of a better word, a revision of multiple zones.
Or the business district.
Well, even if it's the entire district, that's initiated by the council.
Correct.
Right.
At the request of, in this case, the HPP.
Right.
Where it could be at the request of the planning board. It could be a request of anyone. That, the council does the request. Guess what? The taxpayers eat the cost of that.
Right.
It depends on where the request originates.
Right. Right.
But I would like to... you to research when it got changed from
for ordinance 0707.
No. This
one
was the
Paradise
one for
Park.
Paradise Park.
0707.
It got changed to MXD. I'm gonna say.
See, I thought they were together.
I thought that was part of the master plan.
I thought MXD.
That wasn't a request. That was it.
No, that was not part of the master plan.
I believe it was.
I think it was a revision in 05.
When we were redoing the master plan, I believe Mr. Bowen or whoever it was, that's when those issues were brought up. And I believe that was part of the master plan.
Then that would be done at the planning board.
We didn't have to serve certified notice to the surrounding properties because it was part of the master plan.
But double check that if you can. Make sure that that's the case.
Which was
correct as well.
Which was a year or two long.
Yes, you agree? Yeah. You remember?
Yes. Right. So if we start the process... or a town entity starts the process, there's...
We the cost.
Right.
Okay. So nobody wants to move on this tonight? Obviously.
Is there a motion to approve or deny this request for a waiver?
You can't approve it as requested.
No.
Okay, so you're all... Oh, to deny it. I think she wants a motion.
Do you have a motion to deny the request to waive?
I'll make it.
Offered by Mr. O'Neill.
I'll second it.
Right, I got a problem. I want the zoning change to happen, but we can't.
We're talking about the fee.
You have, I believe, on the agenda that you talked about earlier, changes that are included in the HPP report.
Right.
When you do that, you can do this one.
That was my point.
But this is only a very specific motion about
fees,
waiving the fee, because this applicant, the owner, wants you to do it. Just to her, you're saying, essentially, as I read it, you don't have to do it by yourself because we're going to do it as part of everything.
So and that may be included in that discussion at this table.
So
that's all
no
I was trying to say.
Need to make the application.
Correct.
That's her decision.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if she wants to make the application because she doesn't want to rely on what the council may or may not do, that's their decision.
Correct.
I think what.
Can I just ask a question? If we make the application. Does that mean that
Paris Park
Homeowners Association has to pay for the legal review and
for the notices
and those sort of things?
If it's not done, yes, I would say.
If you pay for your own application, you are guaranteeing that it will come to a vote before this body at some point in time because you have made an application.
Okay.
And paid your fees.
And paid the fees. If you choose not to make that application, you're relying on the council to move forward with what they've talked about earlier, which is addressing sweeping changes in the business district at the request of the HBP, which may or may not encompass what you're asking for. That's, again, that is a decision that the homeowners,
well,
the property owners can make.
Well, if you read that the HBP sent and the response from the planning board, it doesn't seem like too much of that's going to go through either.
That's but we can add and take away anything at this table, correct?
You can choose to choose to include that.
Right.
That's
so,
your decision.
And that was my point. We want to get together and hash it out between us. Rick offered it, I second it.
Mr. Redmond, this is a denial of
the fees. To not waive the
fees,
that's all it is. It's nothing to do with zoning.
So if you would vote in favor if you wish to deny it.
Right.
So you are a yes.
Yes, sir.
Mr. O'Neill?
After that, yes.
Mr. Francie?
I guess yes.
Ms. Payne?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
I'm relying on the advice of somebody, but I'm not sure who.
You couldn't get the interpretation?
No.
Interpretation. Brian, 317 Shore Drive.
Yes, Brian Weinstein.
Hi, Brian.
Just a couple of quick things. Ken left me a message earlier in reference to the Verizon pole.
Yes.
On the properties. Can you clarify where that stands? I'm not quite sure.
The conversation with Verizon was that they had been contacted by a homeowner association with regards to that same
That's
pole.
Yeah.
I don't know. They won't get into personal.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that facilitating what needs to be done there, that they're in contact. I don't want there to be any misclarification on who's removing the debris from the pole or what that process is going to be. And that seems to be unclear right now with Verizon and their interpretation.
Why are they unclear about it? Aren't they?
I can't answer for Verizon.
The pole there is unsafe and correct the situation.
If they don't deem the pole unsafe, that's their interpretation. I haven't heard that specifically from them. They're saying they're working with a homeowner association
right. That
has notified them of this problem, and I'm not at liberty to speak for the homeowner association.
I understand that, but are they also, is Verizon also aware that Paul Vitale said not to touch anything around that pole?
They're making that interpretation, though, from Verizon's end. So, in other words, if a technician says to me, I feel we can move that dirt, then whoever they're giving guidance to can move that dirt, in my opinion. Okay?
Against what Paul said.
If Verizon came out to look at the pole,
right.
If Verizon property, and they contend that they have no problem with dirt being removed, they're working supposedly with the homeowner association, not with the borough on that.
Okay.
I did notify the technician that our construction official had questions about the stability of the pole, but that's Verizon's job to do.
Right.
But Verizon is going to keep you informed.
Yes, I told them, please keep me informed. Even if they're calling three homeowner associations, please call me as the fourth person in line as well.
Okay. Secondly, I know we're talking about the FEMA money for the township in reference to the hill. We're now into January. When do we think we're going to have some more, an answer from them in reference to this money?
I was actually speaking with FEMA yesterday. I can't comment on where they're at with anything with regards to the hill because that hasn't come up as a public project at all. As a public project.
I thought the township applied as part of your application.
We did. We applied for many mitigation projects in Monmouth County.
Right.
Monmouth County was shut out across the board on those initial letters of intent for this round of funding. Doesn't mean that something down the road might not come about.
Oh,
but
so the initial application was basically denied for that funding?
It was a letter of intent
okay. That
was submitted
okay. Requesting
various amounts of funding for different projects. From what we've been told, nothing in Monmouth County was funded at that level at this point.
Okay.
So that's all I can... I hear you, and we're not happy about it.
You know.
But we are seeking other pots of money that are available specifically for public projects, meaning we have a roadway issue. Guess what? That may be eligible for certain monies that wouldn't be applicable to the slope. So we are pursuing every avenue we can. That's the best I can tell you at this point.
And finally, in reference to the last
almost a half acre.
What's public knowledge?
Well, there's not much more that's really public. The uphill, the property owner that is closest to the edge, so to speak, and the tenant that is in that property that are closest to the edge, have supplied the borough with their interpretation and their position of what they're going to do. And we're going to, the borough is going to confirm that with them verbally. We have a letter, and we're going to confirm that with them. Then the decision has to be made whether we want to accept their position or take action, legal action, to alter their position.
Okay, so obviously their position is not cooperation.
You can make that interpretation, but that's about where we are.
We're in a similar situation with the other property owner and the condo association, or is that?
Yeah, every entity up there that we have notified have filed notice of claims against the town. So we really, I can't discuss what they are or not doing because now it's in a litigation posture.
So they basically have filed against the town?
They have filed notice of claim against the town. All of them, yep.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Donald Mandrot? Mr. Mandrot, how are you, sir?
Tim, we're going to need the ditch dug out again. If you come up, you can take a look. You see a new spring came out. The sand filled up the ditch. You can see the yellow sand all the way down. And the other thing is, I want to know about my tax bill. I thought taxes were only supposed to go up 2%. Mine's roughly 7%. Why?
I don't have that answer for you.
The first half of the year, the first and second quarter of your tax bills are estimates of last year's. Then when you get your first and seconds are usually your higher, and your third and fourth is when you get the rate.
They're adjusted.
They're lower.
Well, it's not. I thought it was supposed to go over 2%, and I'm up around 7%, and everybody else is complaining because we're up at 7%, and then our sewer bill went up $20. You know, we got a raise in Social Security, but taxes just ate it up. And it's really a lot of people are bitching about it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mandar. Joseph Hawley? You okay? Kim Skorka? Kim's gone? Okay. Arnie Fug?
Okay.
Thank you. Tara Ryan, please.
Yes, actually, my question's for Chief Lloyd, if that's okay.
Sure, please.
All right. Chief, when you made a report today, I think I heard you say that 84 handgun permits were issued last year.
It was 34.
34. Okay, I feel a lot better.
Well, there's six up here, right?
And my second question is, when somebody is
one carrier permit.
Yeah, one carrier permit. That would be me.
Like that, for a handgun, are they required to take any educational classes or go to the range or anything, or are they just...
No.
That's state mandated, right? So we have to do
it. Actually, there's towns getting sued who have tried to put in additional requirements.
That they have.
And they're getting sued.
Okay.
There's a right that you have.
Anything else?
The Constitution gives you that right. I think it's a little bit more than 50 as it is.
That's all done like state, federal even. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Michelle Pizzullo. Good to see you back, Michelle. You also.
If anybody wants to hire me, I'm for a job.
Okay.
Downsized through the economic crisis. But anyway, to Mr. Hill, Best Buy has an electronic exchange where they give you credit for your electronics. Are you aware of that?
Am I aware of that personally? Yes.
Yeah, and can we maybe somehow partner with them as well? Because I think it's a great idea. Because a lot of people don't know, they just throw their electronics in the garbage. They don't recycle their batteries. They don't recycle the
batteries aren't recycled anymore in the county landfill, unfortunately.
That's exactly right.
You put them in the landfill now?
Well, Monmouth County does not recycle batteries anymore. That was changed last year.
Yeah, the new batteries tend
to. Doesn't mean we can't find other alternatives, but I'm just telling you that.
I mean, it's just. I mean, if we can make money, then why not?
I understand, but my question is, if I, how do I get the items to Best Buy?
Well, maybe we can partner with Best Buy.
Gotcha.
We still have to get the Best Buy. This guy is coming to pick
this
them
guy,
up.
This guy, the thing that we're talking about, they'll drop a container if it's approved from what we want to do, and then residents, we're going to encourage fully recycling those items to the best of our abilities to take that out of the landfill and get a couple dollars back on a quarterly basis.
So we're not involved in transportation.
Right.
But
we're not.
The town is getting the money and not the individuals.
Correct.
Correct. Well, Tim gets 25 cents. Yeah.
Yeah, the nickel a pound. Yeah, how many cell phones equals a pound? We should. But no, you're right. It's a start, but I understand what you're saying. I can contact Best Buy, see if they have a better alternative, but it's all in relevance to how do we get the items, how do we collect them. That's why this situation is being started by a couple different communities that are looking towards that initiative of
you're seeing that in a lot of
pulling
places.
Those down.
And on the subject of recycling, what happens if you have a lot of paint that is still, you know, it's not a full gallon, but, you know, it's a good size amount. Is there a place
Monmouth County reuses
them? Like you could...
Monmouth County has a hazardous waste recycling center on...
It has it, I've been kicking about.
It's off of White Cliffs Road. Make an appointment, drive down. They take them all.
But I think it has.
There's Hazlitt in front, too. Yeah.
Can I ask something, Mayor?
Sure, please.
Until we get our program set up, Monmouth County Recycling on Atlantic Avenue in Long Branch accepts the electronic debris.
Okay.
Okay.
Items, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Christian Lee? Thank you. Ed O'Neill?
Yes, Ed O'Neill, 286 Bay Avenue. Now you're trying to apply for a position for the recycling yard. I worked here for 38 years. I'm a veteran, senior citizen. Operate all the machinery down there. I had the job for since I retired in September of 2009 up to December of 2010, just before the layoffs. And I was asked by the previous administrator, Mr. Hilly, to write a letter, a resignation letter, because one of the men that was in the process of being laid off, Mr. Occupanti, senior man, he was going to be terminated, but he would take the position in the recycling yard and work there for a while and also cut unemployment. In my letter, I stated that I was given up the position under duress, that I would like first crack at that position when it opened up again. Mr. Occupant was put back to work when the summer help was hired back again. The job is being reopened when I'm told tonight, hopefully. And I'd like to put my name in for a position. I'm a veteran, a senior. I've run all the equipment down here. I take care of the yard. I'd like first crack at that.
Okay. Now we apply, put out a...
We can post it. We'll talk further on that.
Okay.
We'll accept this application.
We don't have anyone. The guy who we have now is up, or there's a reason that we talked about it.
We're going to be formally posting it. And
okay.
Follow up with you from.
We'll be formally posting it, Mr. O'Neill, so you'll see it.
His application is already in.
Okay. Perfect. Lori Dibble.
It means your application hasn't, you haven't submitted the complete application because there's no fees.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that your application is not complete because there are no fees.
Okay, but you know that we've made prior requests for this that have been tabled and not considered, and no one had asked us for a fee prior to this.
I think you may have asked during the process of maybe a master plan discussion or
no,
other
we asked last year.
During other ordinance changes.
No, we asked last year, and Mayor Nolan said that they weren't going to consider it because we weren't the property owners.
And you still aren't, right?
I don't remember that, but if
well,
you say so, okay.
You asked that meeting, you never formally submitted an application.
No, we sent the letter.
say this goes nowhere until you submit the fees now, the fee and the escrow.
Okay. But what I wanted to bring up is a separate issue, and that's the fact that we don't have a firefighter in the fire department. And we were supposed to have a pump that pumped from the bay, the river border, in the event that there was a fire. They installed that pump. It never really worked properly, or it worked and then it silted in and it didn't work the next time they tried to use it to test it. And nothing's happened since then. That's been 5 years. So we have no hydrants and no fire protection there in the event that there were there are fires there. And I'd just like to know, are we going to try to put that pump that's supposed to pump river water if there's a fire back in operation? Has that been, do we still own it? Has it been tested? What's the situation?
What are we required?
There was never a pump there. There was just a pipe right that now? You could draft water out of. That's all I remember there.
I don't know what they're...
It's got to be a minimum requirement.
The fire truck can pump right out of the river on its own. I mean,
is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, we do that. Yeah, you would put a fire truck down by the river, tie it to another one, how far you're going, and tie it all together. You could do that.
Is that something that the fire department has the equipment or the
practice? We've done it quite a few times.
Okay, because I've just been concerned because they put that pump in and they tested it and then they said, oh no, it's silted in and they never...
It's not a pump, it's a pipe.
Right.
It's a pipe to draw water from.
Right.
I remember, man.
Who's
15 years ago, there was a guy that used to ride his bicycle. Remember that guy, Don? He was a doctor. He used to come down here and complain about that pipe all the time. I don't remember his name. He used to ride down on a bicycle.
Right. He worked over in Sandy Hook for years.
I guess there's a certain muscle he used to complain about would clog that pipe up.
Is that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McNulty.
Okay. So if there's a problem, God forbid, they draw from the river, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But I have the capacity and the tools to do that.
And trucks have quite a bit of water to start with.
Right, obviously you got tanks in there.
Before you even start, you have thousands of gallons of water on a truck.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
And so that pipe that silted in, that was supposed to be for fire.
Yes.
Right.
But not a fire. Who maintained it? I don't know. I don't know who did that.
But they wouldn't even try to maintain it now. They just put a new suction right in from the fire truck.
Exactly.
They backed the truck right up to the...
Maybe they didn't have that capacity at that point. I don't know. Right. You know what I mean?
They wouldn't try to get it fixed.
Okay. Carlos Afalo.
I'll pass.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Thank you. I'll offer return.
I'll make that motion.
So moved.
All
right.